ようこみましょうへようこそ。
Jason Crane, and I'm back with Yoko. Welcome back, Yoko.
Hi, Jason.
How are you? Great to talk to you. I'm great. Thank you very much. We are, last week we took a break from talking about your life story, and we talked about your new position at Berkeley instead, but we're going to go back to the story of Yoko Miwa. And when we last left off, you had been kind of thrown into the deep end by learning to accompany singers, and all of a sudden you were playing songs in whatever key the singer called, no matter what key you had learned it in.
Right.
And so I'm interested, I guess, kind of from there, how your career progressed, because it seems like somewhere in there, there seems to be a fairly large jump or series of small steps that moved you to where you are now.
That's right. I guess, you know, I started doing a lot of gigs with singers. Of course, because, you know, I was playing a company for singers at classes, and I learned how to play with singers, right? So I started doing a lot of gigs with singers, not much like a trio setting yet.
Okay.
Yeah, because more likely duo, I was doing a lot of duo gigs, like restaurants, you know, some parties, and yeah, I mean, you know, I did a lot of them, you know, especially one singer I was she was at the same music school I was teaching, Ozone Music School. She was one of the teachers teaching there, so we became really good friends, and she asked me if I want to play with her, so yeah, and it works actually.
Yeah,
I was learning how to play with singers, so it was perfect.
It seems like duo gigs with singers must be quite a workout as a piano player, because you're the entire band.
Right. I had to play bass lines and solo, you know, of course, intro and ending and stuff. So, but yeah, bass lines. Definitely, I learned a lot from doing this. And of course, you know, I learned from classes too. But yes, in the real time.
And was it good rhythm training too?
Yeah. Why not? You know, I had to do like different rhythms, bossa nova, ballad, you know, swing, all kinds of stuff. So waltz. So
yeah, and even just from the point of view of keeping time,
yes,
you know, there's no drummer, so
right,
everything is up to you.
Right. So I did very funny gigs too. The one gig we used to do, like maybe once a month or once a week, I forgot. But singer is upstairs at the restaurant, and I'm in the downstairs playing piano.
What?
I know. She has microphone. I can hear what she's singing from speaker, but she's, you know, upstairs.
Oh my God.
I can't see her cues or, you know, nothing. Just, you know. It was crazy gig.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know. Because there was not space, not much space for, you know, people eating downstairs, but most of the people upstairs. So they wanted to have singer upstairs, but no space for piano upstairs. So they put the piano downstairs. So we were completely separated.
Oh my God. I have literally never heard of that in my entire life. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Were there lots of places to play in Kobe?
You know, used to be. You know, we were doing a lot of like restaurants gigs. You know, I wasn't ready for doing the real jazz gigs, you know, with my trio or something. You know, I wasn't ready for yet. So, yeah, we found places to play. You know, like Sam in here, you find somewhere, right?
Sure. Yeah, you make a scene if it's not already there.
Yeah, but definitely there are lots of like small jazz clubs in Japan everywhere. Even you know every time we go to Japan, on our tour doing tours, right? And we find so many jazz clubs in Japan. It's amazing. I mean, in general, so many restaurants and bars, buildings, and you know, from big. I mean, you know, you've been there.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I lived in a little small town in the middle of nowhere, and even so, there was a jazz club in that town, and Jimmy Cobb and Eddie Gomez played there, and Jeremy Steig, and yeah, you know, and it was nowhere, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but also very expensive to get in, you know, even tiny jazz club. It's like a bar and then music, but just to get in, $20, $30 to get in, so
yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
In fact, if you don't mind, I'll tell a short story, which is that I lived in Japan twice, and the first time I was an exchange student. Mm-hmm. And when I came back from being an exchange student, I lived in upstate New York, and a group of students and adults from the little town that I lived in came to the United States to do it, like just basically a tour, a sightseeing tour. Yeah. And at one point, they went to New York City. And they knew I was from New York State, and they thought it was the same thing as New York City, essentially. So they said, can you come and take us around New York City? I think I'd been to New York City one time in my entire life. But I said, yeah, sure, I'll meet you there. Uh-huh. And so when all the students were in bed, the two chaperones said, we really want to go to the Blue Note and see some music. Mm. And I said, okay. And I had never been to the Blue Note. And we got there, and it was the Heath brothers, Jimmy and Tootie and Percy were all playing. Yeah. But it was some big celebration, and it was like $75 a person to get in.
Oh.
And I thought, well, of course they're not going to go for that. And they didn't bat an eye at it. Like they did. They just, oh, yeah, sure. That's great. That's totally normal. In we go. And so we went in, and we watched the Heath brothers at the Blue Note. And, I mean, we paid just to walk in the room. You know, we paid $200-something.
Gosh.
Yeah, and I think after the prices of Japanese jazz clubs, it probably didn't seem quite as ridiculous.
Yes, Blue Note in Japan, $75 is the cheapest you can. Yes, and usually $100, $120.
My lord.
To just get in, and you have to eat and drink, right?
Man. So
maybe I told this story, but I used to go to Blue Note in Japan, you know, like once a month, if I'm lucky, you know, I try to make it to see somebody famous come to Japan, but it was too expensive, you know, like $150 at least.
Yeah.
Too much. So when I came here, I don't know, I don't remember if I said this story. When I came here as a student, you know, one of my students said, you know, going to Scholars or Regatta Bar, these are the, you know, the best jazz club in Boston, right? So somebody famous comes, it's only $12 back then. And my friends, American friends said, too expensive, I can't go. And then I said, how much? $12. So, you know, compared to $120.
Right, exactly.
It was like my dream come true. Yes.
That's great. So back to your musical career. While you were doing this whole thing with singers, did you have your sights set on being able to play trio gigs, piano trio gigs?
I used to play with my friends once a while, or I didn't have much chance to play with trio, but I wanted to do my trio. But maybe I guess I didn't know too much what I wanted to do exactly. I wanted to be a singer too.
Oh, really?
I was very confused back then. I wanted to sing. But when I started to take a lesson with Minoru Ozone, right? So I told him, I want to sing, I want to play jazz piano. But he said, no, you have to learn how to play jazz piano first. So then forget about it. So I never tried after that.
Oh,
actually,
wow.
I took some lessons with the teacher who was the teacher for the class. I was playing piano for singers.
Sure.
So I said, you know, I want to take a lesson too. I never really sang jazz. So maybe you can teach me. And so I did. And I sang at the recital or something a couple of times. I liked it.
Wow.
But that wasn't my thing. No.
So we're not someday going to go to a Yoko show and you're going to be singing as well as playing piano?
You know, a lot of people ask me if I sing. And I every time say, no, I can't, you know, but maybe someday, you never know.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. That's very exciting. So it sounds like, you know, with some people, I think they see very clearly, okay, this is the direction my musical career is going to go in, and they kind of follow it single-mindedly. But it sounds like maybe with you that was not the case, that you were kind of feeling your way along?
Right. Yeah, I wanted to play jazz piano. That's what I all knew, because I didn't know much still, you know, what I can do. So
how did you start to make that kind of clearer for yourself?
That's going to happen later of, you know, our conversation.
Okay.
For sure. But I went to another school, Koyo Conservatory of Music in Kobe, which is an affiliate school with Berkeley.
Okay.
And then I definitely had more chance to play with, you know, like a trio setting or like other people, like almost every week thing, you know. So then I definitely thought, oh, this is what I want to do, you know. But it wasn't necessary, you know, be just trio setting. I used to play with horns players, or still I like to play with singers. So, yeah, but I started to feel that way. Yes.
Did you go to Koyo Conservatory to kind of help you figure out what it is you wanted to do?
Yes. So this happened because of the huge earthquake happened in Japan. 1995. I don't know if you remember.
I remember clearly. I had friends in Kobe then. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that would be another big episode next time, right?
Sure.
But because of that, I lost my job. My teaching gig at Minoru Music School that ended because all the facilities, the music school, were destroyed by the earthquake. We couldn't teach anymore. And I also the Minoru's jazz club was destroyed. And, you know, basically I couldn't work. Also, we couldn't do gigs.
Wow.
Right. So for a while. And so next thing was, okay, I got to do something. And, you know, I decided to study more theories. And I was always looking for playing with other people, you know. So I thought, oh, okay, maybe going to school might be a good idea. So I found this Koyo Conservatory of Music in Kobe. And I decided to, you know, go there. So it was like a 2 years thing.
Well, let's stop right there, because it sounds like in the next episode we're going to have quite a conversation about the 95 earthquake. And then maybe after that, the next episode after that, we can talk about the conservatory.
Sure.
And we always end every episode with one of your tunes. What have you got picked out for us this time?
Let's see. Let's go back to my first album.
1975.
And... yeah, right. No. Okay. Album is called In the Midst of Time. And this is a first song of the album. It's called Fragmented Memories. This CD is released from Tokuma Japan label in 2000, year 2000.
And is Fragmented Memories, this is one of your compositions?
Oh, yes, my original. Yeah.
Great. Let's hear that. This is Yoko Miwa and Fragmented Memories. Actually, I'm going to end that again because I didn't say goodbye to you. Well, that sounds great, Yoko. Thanks, thanks so much for talking again, and I look forward to hearing more of your stories next time. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Jason.
And here's Yoko with a track from her very first album, released 15 years ago. This is Fragmented Memories.
ようこみましょうへようこそ。